to wake myself up a little bit.
Epic.
Unironically endorsed.
I mean, what's up, Nate?
I usually have a cup of coffee after dinner.
Yeah, that's very of Robin to do that. To do that sort of stuff. Have a little cappuccino or something after dinner, for sure. All right. So we can get rolling here. Look at that. Looks like Steve made his avatar Clown World Steve too. That's very cool. Cool. Looks like we have a good number of people here. It's good to see everybody coming on in. So before we really get rolling into, you know, some of the things we have upcoming and talking just a little bit about the conference before it is absolutely too late to register, like to welcome Kyle from Virginia to the pantheon of coordinators. He's been in IE. I feel like he's been in IE as long as myself, and he's recently done a fantastic job stepping up and organizing locally, which is great. So Kyle's now the DC area coordinator, which is great. We need, you know, as regions grow, we need people being more locally involved to help grow the regions a little bit better. So Kyle, you want to like introduce yourself real quick and maybe tell people why you got into IE you know, your thoughts about the organization, the future, something real brief.
Sure. Howdy. I think I know most of you guys. I've been in about 2 years now, since 2017. A lot of this stuff was always pretty obvious to me, but I don't know, over the last, since the Trump election, I got involved with IE after watching Nathan and our guys way back on the He Will Not Divide Us stream as they were chugging milk and flexing in front of that amazing art piece. So that's my initial intro into IE. You have to forgive me. I'm coming down from a cold right now. Well, I was not prepared to talk either, but happy to be stepping up in the DC and Virginia area. Looking forward to the conference, getting to know you guys there. If you haven't done so yet, go ahead and come to the conference, please. We also have a fantastic carpool that will be leaving from Sam Anderson's place in Fredericksburg, Virginia. If you are interested in that, we still have, I think, 2 to 3 more seats left.
Two
seats. Thanks, Sam. But yeah, that's pretty much me. If you want a gun post with me, I'm always available for that, but let's keep it to a minimum on the national.
Yeah, that's something I was going to say as well. Firearms are one of Kyle's hobbies. So if you're interested in maybe purchasing something, he's certainly well informed and could tell you if it's a good investment or a bad investment. And, you know, keep that off IE servers. But that's one of his hobbies, and he's got quite a collection, very responsible a sportsman at that. So yeah, let's dig into some of the announcements for local things coming up. If you're in the New York region, the 23rd, I guess that's Saturday, the 23rd, there's going to be a meetup at Captain Lawrence Brewing in Westchester County. You can find that on our Slack server. Lewis says they have good food. There's a gun range right next door. So that's going to be, I guess, one of their first outdoor-oriented meetups, of the year. Going down a little bit further, this Saturday, I guess also the 23rd, if you're in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area, this Saturday at 2 p.m., Udvar Hazy, not sure what that is, and there's an address provided, so if you are in the Maryland, D.C., yes?
Sorry to interrupt, that was last weekend. There are different things happening in the DC area.
Okay, there wasn't a date posted. I'm sorry. Why don't you tell me what's going on this weekend then?
Sorry, yeah. So If you pop over to the DC area, Conrad will be leading a trip to the range on Saturday. And the info is posted there in the DC area. Please go ahead and respond with the emote if you're coming out to that. And then there will be a pretty sizable meetup in on Sunday, this coming Sunday, where we will be going to historic Tredegar Ironworks. It is kind of also the de facto Museum of the Confederacy as well in downtown Richmond, followed by a dinner at the, what was it called, the Hofgarten?
Yeah, Hofgarten. It's like 3 miles away, too. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what we got going on.
Okay, epic. Thanks for keeping me straight there. I didn't see the date and I kind of got lost. That sounds like a good time. It looks like if you're in the New Jersey region, Steve has a meetup posted this upcoming Saturday, and that is this upcoming Saturday in Hoboken, a place called Moran's at 2 p.m. They want to go flyering first, so you can reach out to Steve if that's something you're interested in, and he posted an address as well. And then finally, Pennsylvanians, if you, or Southern Jerseyans, if you're in the Philadelphia region, we're going to be having just a fraternal meetup at Sproul Bowling Alley this Sunday, the 24th, 3:30 p.m. Looks like we have 9 people already who RSVP'd. That's pretty good, pretty epic, pretty good numbers. So, yeah, it should be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. Done a lot of things that are a little bit more involved lately, so it'll be nice to just go out and bowl and maybe have a few brews and have some food together before the conference, which is a little more seriously minded. So there is something that I want to discuss, and that's the topic of tonight is this incident that happened with a Patriot Front in Boston, how some of their activists were detained, and you know, maybe what they did wrong. Well, we can assume they did wrong, and some things that they certainly did wrong. Matt, I noticed you unmuted your microphone. I have a feeling we're probably on the same page here. Is this something you wanted to talk about as well?
Real quick, before we dive into that, I just wanted to remind everyone that I would love to continue to stack the conference with North Atlantic members. So, hey, if you know you're an activist, you're someone who can probably handle, you know, finding a place to stay among the many group lodging options or at the on-site venue. But and you can probably, you know, maybe link up with Sam Anderson and Kyle for the Fredericksburg carpool, or potentially with Steve if that carpool is still available. And you want to go to the conference? Hey, come talk to me. I would love to get some more activists engaged there. I know that it can be sometimes hard for all of us who are college students, everything to make it. And I know that, you know, organizing these big trips and everything, these big events can be a bit of a hassle. So, you know, we're happy to help you out, but just speak up because time is quickly running out here. So if you need help, if you're thinking about asking, but weren't too sure, we do have some funds available. And yeah, like I said, we've got some spots definitely in Fredericksburg in the carpool, as Sam mentioned. So, hey, just come let me know and we would love to make it happen. So, thanks. And yeah, when it comes to the stuff Ian is getting into, I couldn't agree more with what Ian is about to say. So please go ahead, take it away.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're one of these people who kind of sits on your hands a little bit about doing things, if you're not proactive, this is kind of your last chance, right, Matt? Like they should probably get to you by, what do you say, the end of the weekend, or else it's just absolutely too late.
I mean, the registration period ends officially next Friday, by next Friday, really at the end of next Thursday night. So the registration period basically ends in a week. So we're down to the last week at this point, and you're going to want a little bit of time to, you know, maybe, you know, make all those arrangements and everything. So, you know, this is taking place over a weekend, and, you know, there's definitely still a little bit of time and space and everything. So, if you're thinking about it, if you know you can swing it with work or school, and you know you're in good standing with your organization, which I'm sure all of you guys are, then there's really no reason not to. The location's secure. we're secure that, you know, opposition has no idea what we're up to, because if they did know, they would be publishing it, because that's how they rally people to go to these events. And they're not. So every hour that goes by, it just gets safer and safer. And our venue is quite deep in Trump country. In fact, I could not think of a nicer venue that is so deep in white Afghanistan, that
Whitetopia, right?
Yeah, that I think we're quite we're going to be quite all right. So
yeah, I've seen the pictures. Is the places
there's legitimate fears about that stuff. So I just wanted to kind of assuage that. But again, yep, this is pretty much it coming down to the wire here. And we do have sponsorship funds available, and I'd love to see some more North Atlantic people out of that. So if you haven't yet, you're in need, you're an activist, let me know. Be more than happy to get you to the conference.
Excellent. Thank you, Matt. So reach out to Matt if that's you. You know, it's okay if we have the funds available. The funds are available for you guys, especially if you're an activist. So again, for the 10th time, please reach out this week. So I want to talk about what happened with the Patriot Front guys in New York. How and again, this is maybe one of these cases that the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle, right? Like, I don't believe that Patriot Front guys, for instance, are engaging in smart activism. I don't even believe that they're always engaging in smart decision making. But taking the police at face value, at what they say is happening, I don't know. The truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. However, I've done a little bit more digging here. I'm looking at an article, and I've done digging from other articles. So as far as I understand it, what happened was these guys, they went out flying in East Boston on, I guess, a Thursday night and put up a bunch of flyers. And some citizens, I guess, and they had like a flag with them too and were wearing masks. It was almost like they're attracting attention. Citizens like saw them or saw the flyers and tore them all down. So then what happened is these same guys went back the very next night, and people can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I've read from a couple different websites, and put up more flyers. And these flyers were, you know, relatively benign: keep America American, reclaim your birthright, things like this, and a number to call ICE. A police officer saw the guys with flyers in the neighborhood. They were all wearing masks, and he saw they had a spray can on them. It was probably not spray paint. It was probably spray glue, which we don't use. And he asked to speak with them, asked for their IDs, and I guess the officer, like, reached his hand out to try to take one of their wallets, maybe? I'm not sure. And one of the guys slapped the officer's hand away. So that's assaulting an officer. That's a felony. And then they searched the other guys, and they found a knife and brass knuckles. And those are also felonies. Now, I carry around a 2.5-inch blade every single day. Probably every single adult man in my county does, and they're legal all over my state. I know the rules. You know, I can guarantee you that it was not a 2.5-inch Kershaw knife that this guy was carrying. And why would you even need something like that for activism? Brass knuckles, they're illegal almost everywhere. And, you know, these are things, again, like, you can have them in your home, but if you're carrying them out into the community, yeah, it's a weapon, and they're going to charge you with that felony. So, these guys were arraigned, held in jail. They appeared in court. I don't know what's happened with them since. People have levied the criticism towards me and other members of leadership in the past that, you know, perhaps we're a little bit too much of optic cucks, for lack of a better word. Like, we're, you know, we don't take enough risks. We're potentially a little bit, we play it a little too safe, a little too careful. This is why. If one of our activists, you know, got in trouble like this, I think it would be a while till anybody wanted to do activism. If one of our activists got harmed or doxxed because they, while following our policy, or if we didn't set a strict enough policy, again, I don't think people would want to be doing activism, period. So I put a note, and I'm sure many of you read it in announcements in our regional Slack. This is why we do activism during the daytime. Don't wear masks. Don't use spray adhesive. That's why we follow the law. That's why we don't bring anything even resembling a weapon while doing activism. I actually had a conversation with Patrick and Matt and said, look, you know, like I carry a handgun every day, but when I go to IE things, I leave it at home. I carry a knife on me every day, and now because of this, I'm going to leave my pocket knife in my car. I mean, it's just a tiny – I mean, it's, you know, probably everybody in here has carried a pocket knife. They're useful tools, all of them at one point. But guess what? I don't really need it. I'm going to break my habit and leave it in my car. We need to start thinking in this manner. The same way that we think about online security and OPSEC, we need to think about our personal security as well. An additional thing. This is why we don't associate with other groups. The people who say, like, oh, we should be a big tent. We should be associating with, TWP doesn't exist. We should be associating with, you know, TRS. We should be associating with Patriot Front. Well, okay, you're advocating for associating with people who are bringing felony-tier weapons with them while they go and flyer. That's who you're saying we should be buddies with. That's who we should be friends with. Now, I don't think so. That's not something that I'm going to endorse. It's not something anybody else is going to endorse in leadership in this organization. You be friends with them personally. Some of these guys are probably awesome. They're probably hilarious and probably well-intentioned. But our duty to this organization is to keep everybody safe. And if we have people getting in trouble for easily preventable things, absolutely unforced errors, then we don't have an organization. Then people aren't going to want to do things because they won't feel safe. And that's really what we try to provide as a structure for this organization, a defensibility and safety, as well as, of course, you know, our main goal, which is shifting the meta-political dialogue. But we don't need to get into that now. Again, real briefly, if you're ever in the situation – and you should be absolutely polite, but you should be very brief as well with the police. And they come up, say, hey, what are you doing? Say, oh, just don't really have anything to say. Am I being detained? And said, no, you're not being detained. I just wanted to know what you're up to. Oh, I'm not being detained? No. Okay, bye. Have a good night. Said, no, wait. What are you doing out here? Am I being detained? No, you're not being detained. Okay, goodbye. That is the kind of conversation you need to have. You can say, have a nice night, right? But, you know, just polite, curt, respectful, but you really should not say anything further than that. I have no idea why these guys were even talking to this police officer. If that happened to me, you know, he would have really gotten two or three lines out of me. I have nothing to say. Am I being detained? And have a good evening. I also wouldn't have been flying in the evening. So that's kind of all I had to say on that. I don't know if any of our other coordinators wants to make a point on that real briefly.
Yeah, private. Look, I'm not going to say I've never gone to a private school on it and, you know, and flyered there, but please keep in mind there that it's a totally different world on a private university. So I'm not going to say, like, you know, I would be a hypocrite if I flat out said don't ever do it. But if you're going to go to a private school, don't get caught. Definitely don't get caught. Don't bring spray glue to any postering. And you know, it is in the guidebook that you shouldn't be generally going to private schools for doing posterings, unless it was like as simple as putting posters up on like a tack board, right? Because then it's like there's absolutely no alteration, so to speak, of a fixture that would be, you know, associated with defacement on, you know, a street pole or something. Public spaces, a little bit more different. Public universities, more different than that. There's a lot of different sort of layers and ways to look at that. So I just wanted, but in general, definitely, especially if you're maybe a less experienced activist, nothing wrong with that. But if that applies to you, then yeah, there really isn't a huge need to go to private schools. So, and there definitely isn't a need to use spray glue, no weapons, nothing of that nature. But yeah, I completely agree with what Ian said. And yeah, there's, you know, people get doxxed from, you know, not you know, from basically getting, from basically interacting with the police in really bad ways and doing stupid things. And then they get doxxed from having their social media very badly protected in terms of having their real life photo out there. So people don't get doxxed from activism. They get doxxed those two ways. They don't get doxxed from activism. So anyways, Ian, go ahead.
Yeah. Well said. And, again, we wouldn't be serving our membership if we didn't warn you guys of some of these dangers and set forth policies to ultimately protect the organization, protect you. So, with that in mind, we can get into OPSEC a little bit. Over the next few days, I will be sharing a couple of articles from a lefty Twitter on our regional Slack about, doxing. And in all of these, they describe how they were able to dox people on the internet. Now, typically what they've done is people have basically left a trail of breadcrumbs to their real identities. So it's a way to kind of just see how this can happen. It's pretty rare, but I mean, we've had members, and thankfully it's nobody in my region, but we've had a guy, and you know, God bless him. He commented on our social media using first name, last name, and a picture of his face, commented on the action like, "Oh, great action, fellas." And he was doxxed, and we can't have unforced errors like that. And this is a little bit deeper than that, but also something to consider. So over the next few days, I'll probably be posting things of that nature in our regional Slack so people can take a peek at it. I think somebody posted something about that recently. Yeah, it looks like Patrick posted one of the ones I was going to post on Valentine's Day about Tinder. Posting on Valentine's Day. So yeah, guys, I don't have a whole lot more. I don't know if any of the other coordinators had something they want to say. I don't know if perhaps, other members, if you had any concerns or questions, that you wanted to address, I'd be happy to take those now as well. We have you all here, so I'll kind of let things proceed as you guys like, but otherwise come out. Seems like every region has a meetup this weekend, and I look forward to seeing my members at mine.
Let's just wait a second to see if we have any questions, I guess. Anybody want to unmute, chime in, go for it. Also look at general.
I would just say a YouTube playlist was a way that one of our members got doxxed. He used his real name and added videos to a playlist, and he made it, and the playlist wasn't private, so that they were able to see like that he was like liking some dissident right material.
Yeah, and he was also just using, I think, the whole Gmail account, but he was basically his real name and face, so.
Facebook likes everything, yeah.
Yeah, there's probably not an issue, because it's not like you can go to a channel and click on the subscribers list and then, you know, go through that. But if you're going to be liking, commenting, and, you know, building content, then you can just create another Gmail account. You keep for dissident stuff. It has nothing about, you know, your personal identifying information on it. That's the best way to go through. When it comes to all this stuff with OPSEC, you know, Ian mentioned he'll be talking about it over the next couple of days and posting some resources. The main thing to think about is basically placing yourselves in the shoes of someone who's trying to find information about you, and basically thinking about what they would look for and where are the vulnerabilities and where are the avenues where they could find work. So that's just something to just maybe think about for a couple hours, every couple months maybe, and once you kind of have a basic setup, it's not not too hard. Are there any other questions with that or anything else?
I would advise using a different browser for all this stuff. I was in class last semester. I pulled up Chrome and I saw like our website and some other stuff, and I figured that's not really good OPSEC. So now normie stuff, Chrome, all this stuff, Firefox.
Nice. I'll just mention one other obviously massive concept, and that's the topic of activism. So with the coordinators, and you know, we recently talked about this at a recent coordinators meeting, and everything like that. Obviously, it's a central theme to everything that we're doing. You know, for better or for worse, the power in our society is vested in the political and economic system that we've got right now, for better or for worse. That's what it is. You know, there are those who want to basically say that politics is useless. There's nothing to be had there. There's just absolutely no hope. It's too late. I'm not willing to give up and say it's too late right now. And I think there's some options for us to use activism to interface with that power structure. And how do we do that? Well, metapolitics is the force behind the political structure right now. Metapolitics, the public opinion, is what is upstream of the political bodies, so to speak. So, you know, we can continue to use activism, and we need to step it up in 2019 if we're going to have any chance at leveraging that kind of pressure. I've been reading a couple works by Gene Sharp, The Politics of Nonviolent Action, as well as Blueprint for Revolution. I'll post these in our North Atlantic Slack. These are great resources. They break down all of the methodologies. They break down the theory of activism. They break down different kinds, and they break down ultimately like almost 200 specific examples. And you can formulate those for an infinite, you know, number of ways that we can use it. So we need to just think about not only these flash demonstrations as going out and making a symbolic display, but also, you know, peaceful non-cooperation as well as peaceful interventions like going, you know, interrupting a leftist event and things like that. That is something that is really the next level. Not that there's anything wrong with what we've done so far, but that's really the next level, I think, of what we can do in 2019. So let's just continue to have the right mindset with activism. This is not, you know, this organization, I don't view it, and I don't think we should view it as a network to, you know, survive the apocalypse with, right? Think about Charlottesville. If any of you guys were here in IE going back that far, you know, so many people just left after Charlottesville. So, you know, if let's say tomorrow Robert Mueller comes out and, you know, indicts the president and the vice president, and we have, you know, President of the United States, Nancy Pelosi, and we have, Attorney General Kamala Harris, right? And they're signing hate speech legislation and all the rest of it. Well, do we really think that we're going to be able to hold together? Maybe to some degree, and especially in local chapters, but it's going to be very hard to organize. It's going to be very hard keeping people engaged for a national endeavor. So we can't think of this as something that is really going to like survive the FEMA camps or something, here to use an extreme example. We've got to think about action in the here and now while we still have some of the demographics still on our side, whether it be at the federal level or certainly many state levels, and finding a solution out of that. So continue to think about activism. It is the central thing. It is the central focus. The left used it to co-opt this country. And the techniques can be readapted again for our purpose. That's what those books are about. And, you know, it's what the Europeans are using today to great effect. All of those GI actions, those nominal actions that work they've done, all of the policy that they've influenced in Europe. Well, that just didn't happen in a vacuum. That happened as a result of them coming up with the policy and then coming up with the discipline to work to make that happen. So let's continue to think about it, because it's going to be, we're going to be hitting the ground running after the conference in March and April with phenomenal new actions and ideas and getting it to the next level than ever before. So I'll leave it with that.
The conference sounds like it's going to be a very pivotal moment for IE. I keep hearing people say after the conference it's going to be so different. After the conference, we're really ramping up our efforts. Is there anything like...
Yeah, so we're going to be releasing really a whole line of new everything. And that includes some of the rhetorical angles that we're going to go with. We've been working on basically our dialogue and our framing, in addition to the fact that there's going to be new merchandise, that we have a strategy for getting back into the social media sphere and staying there. We have a strategy for engaging more directly with the press after the conference to ensure that we get as much positive or at least neutral news time as possible. Did I say new flyers, new stickers, new merch? Yeah, everything that Matt in particular, I've helped and Patrick's done quite a lot as well. That's been our focus for, what would you say, the last 4 or 5 months at least, this conference. So yeah, we're going to see the fruits of it in a little over 2 weeks. So that's about all I can reveal.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. Well, I don't need to keep you from the rest of your evenings here. I'll think of after the conference. I have a couple guests from across the organization that I want to come in and talk about a couple subjects. So, Argument of Perigee did an excellent speech at our coordinators conference, or a coordinators, I guess it was a retreat, that I want to have him do about half of it and deliver the half that's oriented towards our general membership, because I thought it was that fantastic. So I was kind of waiting thinking I would do it before the conference, but it slipped my mind. So we'll do it after the conference, and we'll try to work on giving you guys a little bit more content, since you're loyal enough to swing through here every week. Besides that, I'll hang out and take questions for about 10 minutes if anybody has them. But if you don't, guys, you can click out of this chat, and I'll catch many of you this weekend and many more at the conference.
Will the old flyers be... I don't have all the old flyers. I'm trying to build a collection. Do you think any of that will be available?
Depends how old.
I have the Amran one. I have... need to look through it, but there's like a few I'm missing.
Okay. Well, I mean, there might be one or two flyers that I don't even have, but I have... as far as I know, I have every single one of IE's first gen flyers, and I have two of IE's second gens. Every time, I think Matt and I talked about this too, anytime that we got flyers, and then as we moved up in the organization, once we were kind of the ones distributing them, we'd take one of each and put them, I think Lewis told me he does this too, put it in a manila folder in our desk drawer and hung on to them. So yeah, that's, I don't know about helping you out with that, buddy. I'd love to. I actually have my favorite first gen flyer framed in my apartment, and let me get up here, tell you what it is, because I forget at the moment. Yeah, that's the one I thought it was. Let's become great again. I've always been a big fan of affirmational messaging. So I have that framed in my apartment. The first banner that that IE ever made, not purchased, because we purchased some of our early banners. The first one that was ever made, I actually made by myself in my dad's backyard. Went up to his place because he has 4 acres, and used stencils and spray paint, and it didn't look too bad. It wasn't great, but it didn't look too bad. And I have the I have a little scrap of it hanging on my wall too. It's the test of the first dragon's eye. So maybe I'll share that here. I was just reminded of it on the activism server this week. So, I mean, you can ask around, Nutter Butter. I have one of each, and they're not going to anybody. I'm hanging on to them.
At this point.
Yeah, they're collectibles. We might do a reissue at some point or another, but...
I've got some Gen 2s hanging around.
Yeah, that's what it is, Matt. What's up, Sam?
I've got some Gen 2s hanging around. If anybody, I'll bring up to my place for the carpool if anybody wants some Gen 2 keepsakes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, people can always put up old flyers if they want, but, you know, I think you're going to be wanting to put up the ones that we're coming out with at the conference are spectacular. So I imagine those are going to be the ones that you're going to want to put up. Let's see. Yeah, dude, it's going to be epic. It's like, I've talked about this for so long, and yeah, I don't want to, I don't like to hype things up unnecessarily. And in this particular case, I feel like I'm not.
And do you think that we just reached over the previous amount? What was the previous amount, if that information's?
I think Matt would probably be able to tell you a little bit more than myself, because he was
for attendance.
Yeah,
it was about 150 last year, and we're closing in on right now.
On what right now?
We're at about 180 right now. And it was about 150 last year.
That's great.
Yep.
Okay, I posted that picture here in the North Atlantic Slack if you guys want to check it out. Oh, yeah, and since I have all you guys here, make sure you've taken that survey that was posted in announcements. I think a lot of you probably have, but I'd like to have a region as represented as possible, so... Make sure we sort that out. Yeah, that's what that napkin was.
Real quick about that survey. I'll just kind of lay it out on the table a little bit. We're thinking about, we're very lightly considering, we'll talk about at the next council meeting. We are lightly considering the benefits of the current arrangement with our, how we have our Slack servers organized versus the national server. You know, for the sake of accessibility, I think there are some drawbacks to having the current arrangement. I was originally in favor of it, but it has ended up being quite a bit of work for each member and each coordinator to manage these. So, you know, I think one potential solution to that is having basically one national IE server and then having basically all of the other servers inside of it, whether it be the regional and local server, everything inside of it, because Discord has like server category based or server channel categories, if you will. So you can actually kind of break it down into a more organized thing. I understand there's obviously some concerns still Discord and its privacy, but it's yet to be seen how true really are. A lot of those concerns stemmed outside of IE and the content and the articles that they were putting out and making allegations about Discord that were ended up not being true, talking about Discord, you know, leaking screenshots of servers when it turns out that servers had public invite links floating around and were, you know, weren't very well vetted, etc. Guys, we may have had a close call with an infiltration or two in the past. I'm not going to deny that, but we've never had leaks of our actual server get out. Knock on wood, right? So it doesn't quite add up that we've got the biggest organization out of everything, and yet Discord isn't. If they were leaking, they'd be. And maybe, our events would be compromised. We'd go to an event there. And it's just not happening. So in addition to that, I mean, all of these Silicon Valley tech companies, they are all run by, liberals. However, they are bound by certain legal requirements to protect private information. And recently, in particular in the Charlottesville case, they have been objecting to the plaintiffs' requests for information off like the old Discord servers and from old Discord accounts, because they recognize that if they just give up information, if they just start, volunteering stuff to plaintiffs who just ask during civil court cases, then they're going to be open to liability claims and people are going to be much less likely to trust them. So that is something that, hasn't been considered by a lot of the Discord, by a lot of the people making the allegations about Discord, and that is something to consider. And lastly, there isn't another platform like this. Really isn't. We've searched high and low, and we've tried to build one ourselves, and there is no other platform like this that allows unlimited users, unlimited data and file usage. Voice meetings, these massive voice meetings.
Integrated video all for one-on-one calls.
Right, integrated video during the call.
Can make your own group so easily. Massive pictures, these, you can upload GIFs.
Right,
you can upload
PDFs.
All
of these permissions, these rules and permissions, there isn't another platform that does it. So we're not going to sacrifice security for features, so to speak, but we do need a platform that works. And if it's the case that the terms of service really aren't that better on Slack, and all these people are not using the access, like, guys, who among us? Let's be honest. Like, who among us is checking the activism Slack on a daily basis? As frequently as we do, the national Discord. Let's be honest. Like, there's not that. Like, maybe Balboa is. Maybe I am. Maybe Wayne is, but I think for an activist organization to have basically nothing dedicated to our national server about activism, really, and in terms of the theory, all the different ideas and planning and all that stuff, that's an issue that we could solve, and we could do it pretty easily, but we would just have to get people comfortable to come back here. How often do you not want to like log into one or the other when it comes to your national versus the regional server? We've done a really great job of getting everybody on the North Atlantic stuff over there, but there's still people who didn't make the switch, and I know it's in a worse state in many of the other IE regions. So it's just one
of
the things we're thinking about.
It was also a ton of work.
yeah, it is. And in managing that, there's no automated process. But if everything was on one server, then if somebody needed to be deranked, somebody needed to be removed, somebody needed to be ranked up, it would be very, very instantaneous. So that's just something we're thinking about. We'll see how it goes. There's no hard decision yet. We're still going to discuss it. We're still going to hash out how exactly something like that is going to work. But it's clear that the current arrangement between Slack and Discord isn't going the hottest. And based on the survey results that I've seen, the great majority of everyone is fine with coming back and doing one, basically a holistic, streamlined Discord thing, and just having one app. Wouldn't it be nice for like 95% of the one single Discord, or one single application to interface with IE with? Wouldn't that be nice? So, anyways, again, I don't want to like oversell it. It is what we're thinking about. it would be pretty interesting. So we'll just have to see, because Slack is good as an idea and as a concept, because it's like very corporate, it's professional, and you know, it's got similar functionality, but it's got some serious limitations. And to get the full access on the premium version, it's like $6.66, you know, per month per user. So we'd basically be throwing away all of our dues revenue to to facilitate that. So that would basically be the end of us if we wanted to do everything on Slack. So I see what you're saying, though, but you know, the last person that I talked to that I saw who had serious you know, privacy concerns over Discord was also like a very intense fan of propertarianism. And I don't know if you're familiar with propertarianism, but it would make sense to me that a person who's a big fan of propertarianism is really, really, really concerned about their online privacy. You know, like overly, extremely concerned. So to the point of paranoia. So I'll just leave it at that. And,
Balboa is bringing up an interesting and fair enough point. He says Slacks are best for members who are active in i.e. IRL activities and community. Discord should be for members who never leave the internet.
Well,
are the problem. Look, I don't disagree. It's a fair point. However, platforms are what you make of them. If we switched entirely over to Slack, guess what? The Slack would be a general chat that's just as busy as this. You know, some people like to check IE National on their lunch breaks and, you know, see what the boys are up to, chat with the boys. Some people probably would benefit from stepping away from the computer screen. I don't disagree with that. But again, it's a platform, and platforms are really, it's about the user base and how they use it and what they make of it, what you make of it. So I think if we're going to have an organization that is, you know, we have people who are as dedicated activists as yourself, Balboa, and then people who treat it like we've said before, like an NRA membership where they pay $10 a month and have access to basically a chat room. That's fine too. This is maybe a good platform for that. And Discord can encompass both of those sorts of people. I think I talked over Matt, but was that, you probably could say something similar.
I was just going to say, imagine if there was a server category on our server list that was like its own specific group of channels that was dropped down that only North Atlantic people could see, that had the same stuff that we do in the Slack, but it was here on National. Also pretend if like that, and so we could just basically get rid of the North, have one app, so you would still have the same access that you do to meetups and everything, and you know, pledges obviously wouldn't have access to it. It would be just something, it would just basically be the current Slack experience, but it would be on a local, regional category here on Discord. That's basically the current brainstorm, but we'll see how it goes. Like I said, I don't want to oversell it, don't want to overhype it, don't want to promise it, but it is something interesting to think about. And if you have strong feelings on it, you can let me know. But we wanted to have that survey to gauge it, and we'll continue to talk about it and keep you guys apprised. But we want to have the best experience. It's all about having the best and easiest and most accessible experience for you guys, our beloved members. Anyways, thank you for everyone for showing up at the fireside tonight. I'm going to head off. If you have any more to add, please do so. And I will see you guys this weekend if you're going to the DC meetups. In the Richmond meetup, and then at the conference in early March.
Awesome. Yeah, I don't have anything else to add, guys. I'll hang out in here for a minute or two, but have a good night.
Good night, folks.
See you, Kyle.
Whoops. Hey, careful. Careful with that.
Yeah, I realize how that sounded, huh? You got a dangerous name in these parts.
Did I ever tell you the story when I first met Matt? He actually came out to my 30th birthday at
the No, tell me.
Okay, so on the way out of the restaurant, we're on our way back to our cars, and it's Matt and another guy from the area that were at my 30th at this German restaurant. And we're in the parking lot, and I'm with my parents. They're going to drop me at home. And they both turn around and just put their arms up, nothing too sketchy about it, just waving goodbye. And they're just very loudly and enthusiastically going, "See you, Kyle."
Oh, my gosh.
No one understood why I was so uncomfortable yet laughing so much.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
But we don't do that anymore, guys.
Yeah.
And we never really did, to be quite honest.
No, thankfully not. I'm watching some stuff from SHOT Show this year. I didn't know it was invite only. Lewis was the one who told me that. I thought anybody could get tickets.
It's invite only?
I actually confirmed it. I looked it up. You couldn't just, like, get a plane ticket to Vegas and go.
It's probably the biggest deal in the world. Like, it's a lot of manufacturers that are just chilling, and a lot of the stuff is kind of stupid.
Yeah, the videos that come out of it are always cool, though.
Yeah, I mostly follow like Ian on Forgotten Weapons and like the InRange TV guys. They're spurgy.
Yeah. Well, this is something that's very cursory for me, and like pretty much your main hobby for you. So I'll always defer to your judgment there.
Yeah. After moving to a free state, I kind of got, in a little over my head here.
Yeah. I have really kind of gotten the car bug pretty hard. I want to get like a 4x4 to go off-roading in a year or two. Start making like treks.
Are you looking at vintage stuff?
Not necessarily. I'm looking at like a budget 4x4. So there's only like a couple vehicles that would really qualify that you can get something that's like good off-road and maybe like do an entire build between $7,000 and $5,000. There's only like a couple vehicles that would hit that bill as a platform. So, have to be a little bit older, but like you could get like a Nissan Xterra and that's like in good condition for like $3,000 and get a lift kit and nice tires. And you'd pretty much be set for around $5,000. So it's like, it's possible, but, yeah. I don't know. I've just been watching. There's this channel, 4WD. That's four-wheel drive, obviously, action. It's an Australian channel. And, it's gotten me the bug. I've been, like, working on my website and doing other stuff and having this channel play in the background. And, man, I'm just like I said, I caught the bug pretty hard.
That's pretty cool, man. Yeah, I was actually looking the other day at old Mercedes G-Wagons.
Yeah, I've always liked G-Wagons, dude.
The old stuff from like the 80s, the 70s, 80s are really cool because a lot of the ones from then are the two-doors.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are like weird Austrian military models, and they have like mounting points for G3 rifles.
Yeah, dude, did you know that you can request a an FN catalog on their website and they'll send it to you, and it has like stuff that private military contractors and like world governments can order in the catalog? Like, obviously you can't get it, but you can like look at it.
Yeah, all those companies are like just wrist deep or ankle deep in blood.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. But it's just like, it's cool to have the catalog like on your dining room table, you know? Or I guess your coffee table.
A little light reading for your mercenary needs.
I think it's just kind of a fun thing to have. I gave all of the catalogs that I got at the outdoor show to my girl's brother. He's like 14 or 15. He's like just starting to get into some of the stuff. But if you like that era G-Wagon, you should check out, have you seen some of the Toyotas that they still make for basically the Middle East and North Africa?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They are really, really cool. Let me see here. The Land Cruiser 70 series. There's even videos. It's like, yeah, here we go. This one's 43 minutes long, so I certainly don't expect you to watch the whole thing. I'll DM it to you. But, yeah, dude, it's epic. And they have the one that's like set up as like a troop carrier. I think it probably linked you to the time that I was watching it too before. But it's like, it's literally just like the late 70s, early 80s ones, which were the best platform, but like just with an off-road set and a few minor modern updates, like a newer radio and I think air conditioning, and I don't even know if it has power windows.
I had no idea they did this. This is the coolest thing that they do that.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. These are all white. The ones that see, they make them in Portugal. So they make them in Japan and Portugal, and the Japan ones go to, I don't even know if they sell them to Japan. They go to like Indonesia and the Philippines and stuff, and also Australia. You can buy them in Australia, and they don't meet American safety standards. So we won't be able to get them until 25 years from now. And then in Portugal, they manufacture them for like the Middle East and North Africa.
It's awesome.
Yeah, now they're really cool.
Now I just want a white Toyota with a Russian heavy machine gun on the back. 23.
Yeah. Hang on, let me find. I'll send you. I had like an interesting tweet that I put together with a couple of the prettiest ones too, because they make them in more than just white as well, which is nice. There we go.
But white is right.
Border. There we go. Look at that and tell and say that sentence again.
Oh fuck, that's actually really cool.
I know, it's really gorgeous, isn't it?
It reminds me of the kind of extended cab
which I found a video of the other day. So it's like six wheel drive. All six wheels, you know, have power. Which is, to me, it's just nuts. But I like the, if you see like the third or fourth pick, what are they called? Like the Geo Metros, the Chevy Blazers.
These are great.
Modern, convenient, cool. I wish American companies did shit like this. I wish this car was available in America.
Mercedes needs to do this with the old G-Wagons.
There's a rumor that they're going to be putting out a pickup truck in America in the next few years. They already have a truck in Europe.
No shit.
Yeah. There's also, it's the X-Class Mercedes truck. It's all right. I don't know. Like, I had an old Merc, and that's what my dad's like worked on his entire life. He was born in Germany and was like a master Mercedes mechanic. But honestly, just helping him out in the shop when I come home from school in the summer sometimes, or just like in high school as well, I really can't advocate for buying like a Mercedes more recently than 2005 or 6, and a BMW more recently than like 2001 or 2 or 3. It's just like, yeah. they're plagued with like electrical issues. Everything's like made out of plastic, so shit breaks constantly. And I mean, every car has like plastic issues nowadays, but you know, it's like a little retaining clip. You break it on, I don't know, a Honda, and you can get it replaced for $3, and it's like a $45 clip if you get it from, you know, BMW or Mercedes or whoever.
Yeah, man, I know exactly what you mean. I drive a 03 BMW for the last, I don't know. You've seen my car.
Yeah, it's one of the last good ones, actually, I think. It is. What is it, a 5 series or a 3 series?
It's a 3. It's a 320Xi. But the thing has had its transmission rebuilt like 8 times.
Oh, jeez. Well, that must be automatic then.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have no qualms with like buying your car in manual, but I would not buy your car in automatic.
You're one of those. That's right. I forgot.
Well, I mean, look, I sometimes that was automatic, but just like a manual transmission, that's also like the engine fact that I've bought for. Like, I would never buy like a Nissan Xterra with like 120,000 miles on an automatic transmission, but I would absolutely buy one that has a manual transmission, because like, what's the worst thing that can happen with a manual transmission? You have to.
Right. Yeah.
That's something you can do in your garage if your garage is well kitted.
That's true. Yeah. I'm only kitted up for major firearm builds.
Yeah.
My family swears by Mercedes from the year 1995. Anything after that, they think is kind of shit.
Yeah, I had, gosh, what was my 19? I think it was a 90. I had a 3. Gosh, I'm forgetting what car I had now. It was a 300D. With a turbo, and I think it was a 1990. I think mine was a 93. Yeah, it looks identical. It was a 92 or 93, and mine was in white. Yep, that's my car. yeah, and it got 290, and I was just like, at that point, I was like, man, this car has been so good to me, but I can't put any more money into it.
Yeah, there's a certain point with those cars. You drive them until they're quite literally, their engines are exploding.
Yeah, but I mean, dude, it was a comfortable ride. It was a smooth ride. Suspension was great its entire life. You know, I had to replace the shocks here and there, but yeah, that thing just rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled. It was a good car, 124 body. Yeah, he wants Varg's car with the same paint job. A Lada, I think they're called.
Yeah, the Russian.
yeah.
Just cruise around. Hello, and hello.
Yeah, right. Do you want to hop in? Like,
but we got a bunch of lurkers in here just listening to us, like some creepy.
That's all right. Creepy ass crackers, these lurkers in here.